Well, good morning. You know, tomorrow is, what day is it tomorrow? Memorial Day, where we is to remember the sacrifices that men and women have made. Has anybody lost a relative? Because I don't know. They were on active duty in, one of the four, now five parts of the military. Mr. Sheldon, your uncle, amen. And your cousin, active duty, you lost them in duty. You know, that's a day that we remember. You know, it's a good to be remembered, but it's almost a sad day too. You know, it's like you just, you know, the sacrifices that they have made for us, you know, that during the active duty they went out and they served our country and they did what our commander-in-chief at the time, whatever part of the military that they served in, they did. And so that's honorable. That's honorable. Honorable that they would have done that. I need to take this chair off here. Oh, you're in trouble now. I just want to sit for a minute. You know, I know probably all of us have heard of the tragedy that we've had in Uvalde, Texas. You know, I wanted to share a scripture with you because probably because of what the word says, it will not be the last that we hear of tragedy that will shake a nation and shake the world. I want to read this scripture to you. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days," this is the last days that we're living in, "perilous times shall come." "Perilous times shall come." And then it gives a list of all kinds of things that will happen. "Perilous times will come, people. Look, but we serve a God that knows how to protect his people, that knows how to bring protection upon us to help us in every area of our lives. It hurts my heart to think of what this guy has done to innocent children, to two teachers, and now one of the teachers, their husband, passed away because his heart just couldn't take it at the memorial service. It breaks my heart to know that these kids were so afraid in their classroom, 7, 8, 9 year olds, and could not do anything about it. I don't know. But I want to leave this scripture with, perilous times shall come. Things will happen because he's about to come back. Yeah. Evil is rising up, but also God's spirit is being poured out from heaven above, people, okay? Things will happen, but be comforted. Our God is coming. Yeah. Our God will protect. Our God will help us to do what he desires us to do, okay? Don't shrivel up and get in a corner. Live life. Live life, okay? You know, you might say, well, Pastor, why didn't you share anything before the kids went out? Because I didn't want them to hear. Because most, I know, I haven't heard them say much. They don't need to hear it. They don't need to hear it. Unless you decide as a parent that you want to share that with them. But our God is a good God, like we just sang. And he will protect them. And he loves them and cares about them. And us too, as his children. Perilous times will come. But rest assured, those things will happen, it says, in the last days. And it's happening because a move away from God to other things. What we need is a mighty revival to move us back to God. To back to him. And back to his commandments. Amen. Any questions you'd like to ask? You might say, we're in church. It's okay. It's okay. Amen. I know we've heard all the stories, but it's going to be okay in the end. Amen. It's going to be okay because you know what? It just tells me the time is short, people. The time is short, and he's coming. Amen. Well, amen. Let's take our Bibles. Nowadays, it's Bibles, phones, whatever else you got, you know. But say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn, as we get in the word, Matthew chapter 25. Page 1697. Matthew 25, starting with verse 1. Talking about the parable of the 10 virgins. Talking really about, it's the church he's talking to. It says, then shall, starting with verse 1, the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise and five were foolish. They who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Verse 8, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Verse 9, but the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go you rather to them who sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they who were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Verse 11, afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Let's just bow our heads and ask God as we get into the word for his mighty power and Holy Spirit. Father, we come before you. And Lord God, I pray a mighty move of the Spirit of God upon this place. Help us to divide this word of truth. Help us, Lord God, to do justice to the word of God. We thank you for your spirit and we thank you for your word. We praise you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we see the parable of the 10 virgins. The 10 virgins are representing the church. The church, as it is upon the earth today. 10. 10 is a number used for government. A 10 used for the government in the synagogues, especially for the Jews. They used 10 was the key. Usually, at every wedding that took place back then, they would have, as the wedding party would come out, the bride and the groom, they would have 10 people or 10 ladies lined up, five on each side, and they all had lamps in their hands. Interesting. All of them. You know, those 10, that was just like something that just would happen or something that just came about, that they would just have five on each side, and all 10 of them had their lamps full of oil, and it was lit up. And it was really lighting up the way for them to walk, but it was lighting up their way to walk as a couple in unity together, now as one with each other. And so that's why, you know, he comes here and we see, you know, the parable, and it says that they had five foolish virgins and five foolish or five wise virgins. And here they come. The Lord tells them to go. Look at verse 1. Let's go back to verse 1. It says, and it came to pass when Jesus... Oh, no. I'm sorry. That's the wrong... verse chapter 25, 1, 26. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Here we see all 10 of them at the moment are wise, because they're all going to meet the bridegroom who is about to come. And who is the bridegroom? That's Jesus Christ, that is ready to split those eastern skies one day. One day. You know, I know, you know, a lot of, not a, even in the church is not even believing that he's coming. Or, you know, I know there are different people that maybe believe different things, hope, you know, whatever, and that's okay. That's okay. But just so you believe he's coming. Just so you believe he's coming. That's the main thing. It says all 10 of them went out to meet the bridegroom that was coming, because we are the bride and he's the bridegroom that's coming for us. They all went to this marriage, and they're waiting, and they're waiting, and they're waiting. Now, when they went to meet him, all 10 of them are wise at the moment. All of them are doing the work that needs to be done. All 10 of them are sharing the gospel, if you want to say it that way. The church, the body of Christ, doing what God wants them to do. Because you see, the enemy will do everything he can to shut the church up. I'm telling you. After this COVID stuff, he's tried to shut the church up from sharing the gospel, from gathering together as the word says so. Look. Let me tell you this. We will have diseases come and go till the time he comes back. Till the time of the 1,000 years of reign upon the earth, the millennium, when everything is perfect. That's when it will be eliminated, diseases. But I tell you what, today we will have things rise up because of sin and evil upon the earth. Okay? Things will rise up. But I tell you what, we have to do what this word says, no matter what the world says, no matter what the government says. And hey, I'm one to follow, okay? But when it comes contrary to the word triumphs over government, triumphs over any local or federal government. Because the word of God is what we live by. It is he that has paid the price on Calvary's cross for us. Praise God. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. And look, the enemy will try to stop the word from going forth to bring liberty and freedom to the world. Amen. The world is looking for help. We have the answer. We have the answer on the inside of us. We have the answer through the word of God. Amen. He has given it to us. We can share about Jesus. You know, and hey, let me tell you. Some people don't want to hear that it's Jesus Christ. Some don't want to hear that there's only one door. And no other door. They want to believe all kinds of things. All kinds of things that do not correspond or go along with what the Word says. We got to be out there because we know He's coming. Through the scriptures, we know he's coming. We got to keep sharing no matter what. No matter what. This parable of the 10 virgins stresses faithfulness to God, watchfulness for the preparedness that he's coming, and consecration to the Lord. Consecration is out the door for the most part. For the most part. Consecration unto the Lord. Just saying, Lord, here I am. Clean me up. I mean, we have a lot to be cleaned up with. We need a lot of cleaning up. You know. But I tell you what, that's what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's job. To lead us, guide us, and clean us up. To help us to overcome things that we need to be over, to help us to see things in our hearts that need to change. So we can see it and then say, okay, Lord, I lay my life as a living sacrifice, it says in Romans. upon your altar and let the Spirit of God move upon us. One touch from God can change a direction of an individual than 100 counseling sessions. Now, there's nothing wrong with counsel. Hey, look, just get good counsel, though. Okay? That's the deal. We need good counsel. You want to find good counsel? This is good counsel. This is good. This is good counsel. That He will, the Holy Spirit will move upon you as you study and you read these scriptures. His faithfulness to us, a faithful God we serve. He in the scripture, it says that He's coming back. He's coming back. Don't lose that word. It makes you want to share the gospel with people. It makes you want to share Jesus with people. Because you know without Jesus, there's no hope. The only hope this world has is because of a man that died 2,000 years ago. 100% man and 100% God. Jesus Christ. He's the one that has brought hope to this world. Amen. You know, I was talking to Betty, how she was, you know, she usually is with people that are about to die. She sits. And I said, thank God you're there to share the gospel. She's a snatcher. Wow. People. We don't realize how much love God has for the human race. I mean, He loves us beyond measure. I mean, He loves us that He would send His only Son to die a horrific death and not stop it like He could have. But to do it, I often think of that and I think, Lord, there isn't anything that I will go through in this earth that compares to what Your Son went through. Let's keep pushing on. Yes, keep pushing on, people. Amen. We can all agree, I know, that Jesus is coming soon. The virgins spoken here represent those who have accepted the Lord and are cleansed from the corruption or pollution of the world. All 10 of them, people. All 10. God just doesn't put numbers in the word just to have numbers. There's reasons for everything. They went forth to meet the bridegroom, Christ. All 10 were saved. All 10 of them had the light of the gospel in them. All were touched by the mighty hand of God, Jehovah King. He is faithful who are to be watchful. He's wanting to consecrate us for the purpose. As the 5 got there, or the 10, they so were summoned to this wedding. All 10 were there. And He just kept putting off when He was coming to meet them, the church. We're at that stage. You might say, why is He putting off? Souls. Souls. That's it. He's not willing that any should perish without Him. And hey, I know we would love, I'd love for the Lord to come today. I mean, you know, but I often think in my mind how many people I know that don't know Him, that has not received Him. And not because He hasn't done miraculous things in their lives, has it maybe they once served Him, maybe they once gave their life to Him, but have backslidden, have not come back to the Lord, or some that just haven't heard adequately. But here they are, all 10, just waiting. And they said that they fell asleep, slumber. And it does not, you know, it's an amazing, when it talks about they slept and slumbered, there was nothing negative after that. You see what I'm saying? It didn't say like, that was bad, you know. They were tired, probably. So they slept. Well, the sound went forth that the bridegroom was coming. They jump up from their sleep and slumber. They got their lamps. And all of them started to light the wick. The ones that had no oil left in their lamp because they didn't bring extra oil, the wick burned a little bit and fizzled out. The ones that brought a vessel, it says, and a vessel could mean a jug or a bowl of oil. They came prepared. What does oil in the Bible represent? What? Holy Spirit. Correct. Good job, guys. You got an A+. A+. Cool. You passed for the year. Amen. Represents the anointing of the Spirit of God. When the bride was coming forth or coming out, the sound went out. They all jumped up. Five didn't have any extra oil because they didn't bring it with them. The Holy Spirit wasn't with them. The oil represents the Spirit of God. What they brought was in their canister, what they had. They didn't bring any extra with them. So when the bride was coming out and they should have 10 according to the government of law, he didn't have 10. He only had 5 because the ones that didn't have the oil ran to the other one and said, "Give it to me." And they said, "Oh no, go get your own. You came without any, go get it. You can go down the road and buy some if you want." And they hurry up and left, thinking, "When I get back, he'll come. Or when I get back, even if they went in, he'll open up the door maybe for me." Ooh. And when he came out, all he had was 5. They put that oil that they had brought in their vessels because they ran out, all of them, what they brought. And they lit it up for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, this is the deal, people. If we go by logic... Now, this is, I'm going to just throw this at you. If we go by logic and 10 represents the whole body of Christ, only 5 make it, that's half of the church not going when Jesus comes back. You might say, "Well, they were saved." Yes, they were. But they didn't keep up the oil of the Spirit of God in their hearts and in their lives. Ooh. Ooh. You might say, "What do you got?" You know when you got saved? How the Spirit of God came into your... Ooh, it was like... Do you remember when you got filled with the Holy Spirit? Oh, my God. Everywhere you went, you spoke in tongues. It's like that was just in you. You were full. But in Ephesians, it says that we are to be filled continuously. Yes. It is your part and my part to continue to have that oil being poured in so that we are constantly lights. You see, they ran out of the oil of the Holy Spirit. And when you run out of the oil of the Holy Spirit in your life, you cannot shine the light of the gospel no matter what we say, no matter what we do. That's why we can have people of all living conditions come into church and not be ashamed of how they live and be accepted by the church. No, that's not right. We as a body of believers, you as a Christian, need to get with God continuously, letting Him fill you with the Spirit of Almighty God continuously. That's why, you know, I don't know how people make it without going to church for months and months. You haven't been to church? Go to church. Be in church. Now, I'm not saying, hey, work and, things happen. You're sick and you can't get out your house, and there are certain... But just to stay home? How long it's been since we've been to Walmart? It doesn't take us long. We go. We need to do everything we can to gather together with other believers. We need to do everything we can every day to seek God with our prayers. Hey, I'm not saying we're perfect. None of us are perfect. Zero. But we serve a God who is perfect. And we serve a God who pours out the anointing of God upon our hearts and upon our lives. And we need to get in that word, number three, like we've never gotten into that word ever before. Be in church. Pray and seek God. Those are just Christian etiquettes, really, if you want to say it that way. And then study the word. Read that word. Get it in your heart. Get it in your life. And you might say, well, what does that do? That keeps the oil flowing. Keeps the oil flowing. Flowing in our hearts and in our lives. Here we see those five come back. The bride, Jesus, has already come, taking the five into the marriage. And they come, and the five are not there, and they know he's already come. And they go to the door, and they knock. Didn't we feed in your name? Didn't we give water in your name? Didn't we do this, our acts? And those are all great things. There's nothing wrong with that. And we're to do those things, okay? When we can. Pray with people. Help people. But what we do will not get us in the door. It's who we know that gets us in the door. Our name better be on the list. The list. And people think, well, I can do this. And No. The name has to be on the list to get through that door. And they knocked, and there was no answer. The Holy Spirit. We need to seek God, people, especially at this day and time, like we've never sought him before. Letting him pour out his Spirit upon us. Pour out his Spirit of oil. And hey, let me tell you, sometimes I don't feel like it. Who feels like doing that every day? It gets tough. It gets hard, huh? At times. But I tell you what, we just got to submit under the mighty hand of God. Look, sometimes I'll just sit and say, okay, Lord, I don't know what to do today. I mean, you know, really. You know, when you need God to answer some questions, when you need God to show up in certain areas, and you don't know what to do, just sit before him. Don't do anything. Go to God first. Go to God first. Keep filling your canister full of oil. You might say, well, all I'm doing is sitting there and going to him. That's what he wants. And as you sit there, the Spirit of God can move upon you and give you the direction and the power and the presence that you and I need for this day and age. Hey, look, we've all been on the receiving end of a hurt. Yeah. Amen. Amen? Or the giving in of a hurt. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. And you look, 99.999% of the people, you know, none of us want to hurt anybody. We might say something we don't realize hurts us. We might do something that we don't realize. That's how it is. But look, the Bible says forgive. You might say, well, how do I do that, Lord? You go to the Lord and you get before him. Yes, and you let him pour out his Spirit and you say, Father, go to him first. Don't go to your neighbor. Don't go to your best friend. Don't call 10 people on your list and have them pray because you need da-da-da. And there's nothing wrong. I don't want you to get out. There's nothing wrong with having people pray and stuff. But let me tell you this. Instead of going to 20 people, you go to the one that can really help you. Amen. You go to the God that has paid the price. Because the oil has to keep flowing in your life. You don't want anything to stop it. And you get with, and you say, Lord, I don't know what to do. This hurts. It hurts. But Lord, I give it to you. You said seek and I will find. Seek and I will find. And I'm seeking you on this situation. We'll be like, kind of like Naaman. Remember Naaman? When he was full of leprosy and he needed God to heal him. And the little servant girl said, "Oh, I know the prophet." And he thought when he'd get to the prophet, man, the prophet would come out with everything within him and lay hands on him and do this and anoint him with oil. Da, da, da. Sometimes we think things that will not happen. That's why God says so much about this thing right here called the brain, the mind. How to control it, people. We have to control it. We can't let it scatter off and go in this direction, because most of the time it's not truth. We can't let it go and scatter off in this direction because most of the time it's not truth. We got to get in that word. God says, think on things that are what? Pure, holy, true, just, of good report. You might say, "Well, I saw this." Okay, I understand. Control it though, okay? Control it with the word. And you might say, "Well, how do you go to God, people?" But keep that oil flowing, because what he wants us to get is no oil. And when we're just doing things out of flesh and just whatever, he wants the church to be filled with the Spirit of God. Naaman, the servant girl went out, the servant went to Naaman and said, the prophet said, "Go to the River Jordan. Dip 7 times. And when you come out set that to 7 times, you're going to be healed." He got so mad. Look, so mad. Because he thought God would do it a different way. Don't put God in the box. Let him do it the way he wants to do it. And all of a sudden, his servant girl went up to him and said, "Look, why don't you just go do it?" She brought him to his senses. She had more wisdom than him. You know, a person that has the word of God in them is wise. I know the world will tell you crazy, just like they'll tell me I'm crazy. But God says we're wise people. Wise. And he went out to that River Jordan, which was the dirtiest river there. And he went in and he dipped himself once. I'm sure somebody had a mirror for him to see. Twice, 3, 4, 5, 6, and I'm sure his faith was like, "Oh, this won't happen." Even though we might be thinking this won't happen, if we have faith still to believe like a mustard seed, it will happen. If he would have got out that water at 6, he would have walked out the same as he walked in. But let me tell you this. He said one more time, "Okay, Lord." And he went down. And when he came up, cleansed. Amen. Cleansed from the filth of leprosy. We need God to heal things in our hearts spiritually. Heal things. Help us to forgive. You know, God says to forgive. It says, if we don't forgive, we will not be forgiven. You might say, "Well, Pastor, that's hard." Hey, look, I know it. That doesn't mean you have to. He just said the act of forgiveness. That means you go to him and say, "Lord, help me to forgive." You might get up and say, "Lord, I'm the same way." You just want to beat them up. You want to just do something to them. Go back to the Lord again and say, "Lord, I forgive. I forgive." And some things are easier to forgive than others, huh? Depends on how close maybe you are to someone. Depends on who it is sometimes. But I tell you what, his word is true. It says if we will forgive, he will forgive us. That means when we set our act or our face or our body or our who we are to forgive, that means the oil keeps flowing. Ooh. We don't want the oil to stop, because I tell you what, if we decide not to forgive, I can guarantee, it's like the guarantee. The guarantee is this. That oil of the Holy Spirit, it will stop. Because God will never go against his word. And until we get things right with whoever or whatever, or we just forgive, whatever situation it is, when we do that, the Spirit of God, the oil keeps pouring out. And we, look, God made us. God made each and every one of us. We're all unique to Him. No one here looks like each other. You know what I'm saying? You might say, well, they have twins, they have this. It's still, there's certain differences somewhere, somehow, even in their mannerisms maybe. You know, whatever. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. And you're going to see where He will move. When you do your part, God, the Holy Spirit, does His part, because He's bound by the Word of God to do what the Almighty Father said that He would do for us. Amen. When we do our part, He comes in and takes control and helps us to do what needs to be done. It's a sad thing when a church gathers, and that's not this one. When a church gathers and there's one here that hates this one on this side and that one over there can't stand this one don't could care less about this. You know, that's a sad thing, huh? Don't you think? When the world says when God says that the world would know my disciples by their love one towards another. Wow. We have to do everything we can as individuals to keep that lamp full of oil so our light shines, people. You know that old song, give me all in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me all in my lamp, I pray. Give me all in my lamp, keep me burning till the break of day. Keep letting the Spirit of God keep pouring it in, people. Guard your heart. Guard your heart from anything that's not good. You might say, well, how do you guard it? By going to God continuously. You can't guard yourself from where you go sometimes, you know, because you have to go wherever it is. And you can't guard other people in what they say or what they do, their actions. You can't do that. But you can guard your heart. And you can say, nope, that will not enter me. And I know, let me tell you this, it starts here. Yes, it does. That's where it starts. Yeah. Now I'm going to say something. Now ladies, don't get mad at me. No. Too late, yeah. Who said that? Betty. Betty would say that. She said too late. Go ahead. Ladies, it's harder, I think, and because of your makeup, to not let things go so easily. You know, like two men can fight one day, the next day they're friends. Ladies fight, oh my God, for years and years. I mean, it just that's in because of their different makeup. There's nothing wrong with it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to. But it does. But we have to learn to allow things to bounce off. When the flesh is dead, the flesh can't get hurt. Huh? We learn how, that's right. It's a learning process. Just like Naaman, he had to die to self-pride, to self-arrogance, because he was the king. I mean, he had the garments on of a king. And to go in that old dirty water, I mean, who would want to walk into the Vermilion River? I mean, that's dirty. I mean, whatever. You know, you get some fish, but it's dirty, you know. But him walking in, he had to let all that go and look to the Lord and say, I'll do it. And can you imagine how he felt when he got out that water? How thankful he was to that little girl, servant girl, to help him. God will set people around about you to help you in your walk with Him. Remember, you're never alone. Never alone. God gives you pastors. God gives you friends to help you and I. We're not walking alone on this journey. We're walking with other believers to get the job done. And you see, if he can hinder us in any capacity or with any way, he can stop us from sharing the gospel. Because you see, like Joyce Meyer says, and you know, I'm not a big fan of Joyce, you know, she's okay. But you know, hurting people hurt people. And I've always remembered that. Hurting people hurt people. And so we got to do everything we can not to hurt, if you know, however, but to do what God wants and to live a life of forgiveness. God says to forgive how many times a day? Which is how many times? 490 times. That's too much. That's too much. But what he's saying is never stop. Because he's looking out for our good. Our good. Huh? Our good. Because you see, we don't allow those things to come in. We stop it. It doesn't become a oak tree of roots. You see, when it goes from here to here, that's when it takes root. And that's when it's hard for the Spirit of God to yank out. Because we just can't take it. You know, it's hard. Little by little. But let's root it out here. Don't let it take root in the heart. And God will move upon us. And the Spirit of God oil will be poured out. I was, one last thing. Well, two things. I'm about to close, guys. There was a guy from the Netherlands. And I know maybe some of you heard this week. And he went and he started churches there. And while he was starting churches, God miraculously was moving. His son got sick. Son was 6, 7, 8 years old, something to that effect. And he anointed him with oil, and he prayed the prayer of faith and everything. All that he knew, and all that we would know to do, quoted scriptures. And his son died. And look, it almost destroyed him. Almost destroyed him. As he kept seeking God and saying, "You need to help me, Lord." I mean, look, he was ready to stop ministry, stop everything, y'all. It hurts. It hurts. Some things in life hurt. And only the Spirit of God can move upon a situation and change it. He did the best thing. He went to God first. And he was saying, "Lord, how can I preach healing when, look, my son died," and you know, whatever. All of a sudden, as he kept seeking God, God asked him a question. "Do you still believe that I can heal?" We don't know what the Spirit of God will do in our hearts and lives. You know, we serve a mighty God, people. We don't serve no little imp God that has nothing to do. We serve a God that leads us and guides us and moves upon us and helps us and supplies for us and gives us wisdom when we have no wisdom. And he looked to God, looking up, and said, "Lord," with a small voice, "I believe." Can you imagine burying your son? Then God asked me, "Do you still believe I can heal?" And he said, "Lord, I believe." From that day forward, the mighty power of God, he prayed over people that got healed miraculously. One of the things he talked about was there was one little girl. Her feet were all backwards, like instead of frontwards, all backwards. Prayed over this little girl, and they could hear bones just cracking. They look down, the feet are straight. See, God will bring us to our knees. See, he doesn't want pride and arrogance at all in our hearts. And we got to fight it, people. We got to fight with everything within us. We got to get with God continuously, letting him pour out his Spirit. This is not no little joyride here. This is the kingdom of God, the most precious thing upon the earth. More important than anything else upon this world is the kingdom of God, yes, and doing what God wants and letting him move. Yes. Let the Spirit of God keep pouring in. It may look bad at the moment. It may look like the storm is rising up. It may look like everything on the boat is being destroyed. And you're trying to throw off things like they did in the scriptures. But I tell you, just hang on. Just hang on. Just hang on. Hang on to the King of Kings, because his anchor is strong. When the anchor holds, there's nothing this world can do to destroy us. The last note is this. Jesus, and let's read the scriptures and we'll be dismissed. The last part of chapter 25, look at verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they who were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." You know, that's the worst words. That's bad. All 10 represented the church. He said, I do not know you. Only one way is Jesus. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We don't know when he's coming. But people, we got to do the work that he's called us to do. Share the gospel. Share the gospel. Pray and seek God. Pray and seek God. I covet and need your prayers as a pastor to get the job done that I need to get done. I need it. Not that I just desire it. I need it. Call out my name, please, before God above every day, because I need your prayers. I covet them. I need the power of God upon my heart and my wife's life so that we can do the work that God calls us to do. You don't realize this last 2 weeks I heard of another pastor. Not that I went to seek. I mean, they just came up to me. He failed. Let me put it to you that way. Another pastor. In Louisiana here, too. Well, not far from me, really. Another one. My heart grieved. All I wanted to do was cry. I said, "Lord, another man. Another man down." And I said, "Lord, lift him up. Lift him up. Lift him up. Lift him up, Lord." I bind that enemy that's trying to destroy that church, trying to destroy that man, trying to destroy the people, his wife, his children, everything. We don't realize what is needed to get the job done. But people, we got to be sold out to the King. Come on now. There's no playing games anymore. We got to be, that doesn't mean we in 24-hour, you know, ministry, but we got to be sold out to the King. Sold out to what he wants. Sold out to his agenda, you know. It's like, "Oh, Lord, don't go over the hour of 15 minutes of preaching, my God," you know, or don't, we got to follow what the Spirit of God wants. We got to yield to him like we're doing and letting God move upon the situation, move upon the things. We might not see it with our eyes here, but we can sense it in our hearts, knowing that God is moving upon the situation and what is happening. Keep that oil flowing. Keep that oil. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. As far as speaking in tongues, you need that power. You need that power. You need it for your heart and your life. You need it. You know, call out to God continuously, saying, "Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I need it. Look, I got filled with the Holy Spirit with nobody praying over me. Went, get baptized, coming back, and I said, I just feel something here. I knew it was coming. But I said, well, you know, by myself on that bed, just, I said, Lord, I want it. Just started speaking in tongues." And we know that's just a prayer language that God gives to his people. We need that. We need it. The power. You know, they didn't go out and minister till they were filled with the Holy Spirit. As far as speaking in tongues, God made them wait till they were filled with the Spirit of God to get the job done. Amen. That's the power of Almighty God, people. Amen. You may stand, please. Oh, we